Welcome to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Today we'll hear from jazz saxophonist and composer Calvin Johnson, who will be headlining WBGO's Kids Jazz Concert next Saturday at the Newark Museum of Art.
We're going to come in swinging with the full band, a six-piece band modeled after Louis Armstrong, the way he liked to do it. So not only will they be exposed to a live jazz band, they'll also be exposed to improvisation.
And I'll chat with jazz pianist, composer, bandleader, and educator Aaron Parks, who has just released his new acoustic quartet album, By All Means, via Blue Note Records.
Yeah, I just want to try to make music that I want to listen to, but not trying to make music that's self-consciously trying to be original or self-consciously trying to be traditional.
All this coming up today on the WBGO Journal. WBGO's Kids Jazz and the Louis Armstrong Educational Foundation are inviting families to experience the rhythm, creativity, and community spirit of jazz at a special Kids Jazz concert on Saturday, November 22nd from 1 to 2 p.m. at the Newark Museum of Art. This free, family-friendly event is a wonderful opportunity to introduce children and adults alike to the magic of jazz through an afternoon of music, learning, and more importantly, fun. Headlining the event is Calvin Johnson and Native Son, bringing the vibrant sound and soul of New Orleans to Newark. And joining us now is indeed saxophonist, composer, and band leader Calvin Johnson. Great to see you, Calvin.
Great to see you too, Doug, and thanks for having me. So looking forward to this.
Our pleasure. Third generation saxophonist, your passion for jazz was nurtured at the Louis Armstrong Summer Jazz Camp and the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts. But jazz has been in your blood. As I mentioned, a third generation saxophonist, music has always been in your home.
Exactly. I'm, as you said, third generation New Orleans jazz musician. You're not going to meet many like me. I'm carrying on the family legacy, carrying on the torch. And even before I got to the Armstrong Jazz Camp or NOCA, obviously I was influenced by music. Music was on both sides of my family, my mother's side, my father's side. And to be honest, I don't even remember starting to play music. I just was doing what everyone else in the family was doing. And frankly, I was just trying to be like my older sister. She was playing piano and clarinet. And so I was like, well, I guess that's what we do.
It was your uncle who gave you your first saxophone, right?
Yeah. My paternal uncle, my dad is, you know, these New Orleans families, my dad is one of 11. So, you know, I have five uncles, and one of my uncles, my uncle Lionel, he actually gave me his old alto saxophone. My dad just came home one day with this old, for musicians, they'll know this name, a Martin Indiana alto saxophone. And man, it had the smell of like 50 years of jazz clubs and cigarettes. And I remember I just opened it and I was like, wow, what is this? You know, as a kid, I was like, this looks like some grown up stuff. This is for me.
That's wonderful. So, you know, the importance of music and on the education side, on the fun side, we've seen time and time again how kids who play instruments do better in school. And yes. And this Kids Jazz Concert is obviously right up your alley.
Yes, I do believe that music, you learn a lot from music. Obviously, you learn you make direct connections, you know, in terms of music, but then also the indirect connections, such as math, such as problem solving, critical thinking. Music has certainly helped me in lots of arenas outside of music.
When you think about the responsibility of keeping this wonderful art form alive, I know you take it seriously, and I know because of your family history, our Gary Walker, our Daybreak Coast, has always said, just expose the kids to the jazz and they'll get it. What's your thought on kids and jazz?
Great question. And yes, I do believe that, first off, as a a musician, as a practitioner of the music, it is my duty, my obligation to expose kids and the younger generations to jazz the same way that I was exposed to jazz. To be frank, when I was growing up in New Orleans, the all of the cool people, everyone that we idolized, were not necessarily like the athletes and the rock stars. You know, we idolized the musicians that we saw walking down the street wearing a three-piece suit with a fedora with a leather gig bag on their back. Like, those were the coolest cats in the neighborhood to us. But the fact that they took time out of their day and out of their lives to just talk to us and to also, you know, take us under their wing, and, you know, they did not take lightly the role of a mentor, you know. So I think it's in every musician's best interest to pay it forward and to give back to the community that gave to them.
What will these kids and their families experience on Saturday at the Newark Museum of Art on the 22nd?
Well, obviously, you know, we're gonna come in swinging. We're gonna come in swinging with the full band, a 6-piece band modeled after Louis Armstrong, the way he liked to do it. You know, come in trumpet, trombone, soprano sax, clarinet, piano, bass, drums. So not only will they be exposed to a live jazz band, they'll also be exposed to improvisation. They'll also be exposed to the repertoire. This is not necessarily the repertoire that they are going to hear on the, you know, clear channel radio per se, but they are still going to get the jewels that came before them in terms of a repertoire. They're going to be exposed to, oh my gosh, I mean, hopefully by the end of the show, I even get a few of the kids up dancing, you know. So there's going to be lots of, I'm sure there's going to be lots of first time experiences for them. Also, just being frank, you know, everyone throws around this term exposure. Well, to be honest, what it's all about is the more you're exposed to things as you're growing up, the less fearful you are of them as you get older. And then also the more you know how to embrace and indulge and enjoy them, you know. So at this point, it's really about exposing kids, creating that next generation, establishing a pipeline for that next generation of musicians, and also perpetuating the music. You know, if we don't do this, then what is the future of the music?
Another thing too for young kids is they also then start to learn that some of the music that they're listening to now has all been based on jazz and blues music.
You know, I don't know who said it first, but, you know, everyone knows that phrase, there's nothing new under the sun. And so I just find it amazing when we're playing these student concerts, and this usually happens more like at in a high school level, you know, because they've already had maybe a decade or so of absorbing pop music and some other things. And then, you know, we'll play some examples, or I'll slip in some familiar melodies to them, and they'll say, "Wow, Mr. Johnson, I didn't know you like Lil Wayne or Kendrick Lamar or Beyonce." And I'm like, well, you know, Beyonce got that from Maze and Frankie Beverly, or, you know, such and such got that from James Brown. And then you kind of just light a spark in their eyes, and then they fall down a YouTube hole, and they just keep following the thread. Then I'm like, bam, my job is done.
When people say the sound of New Orleans, what does Calvin Johnson say that means?
I would say the sound of New Orleans, you know, in New Orleans, we like to say that the music belongs to the people, and we like to say that the music is folk music. So we use the music to accompany every facet of our life, whether you're talking about a birth, a funeral, a church service, a graduation, a birthday party, just a second line on a Sunday. So to me, New Orleans music equals expression. It equals emotion. It equals personality. It equals a living embodiment. You know, the old men in New Orleans like to say, play like how you live. you know, the music is still alive and it's still breathing. And to me, that's what New Orleans music is and represents.
You've also acted in some really cool shows. Tremé was, you know, one of the best shows that was ever made.
Thank you. Yeah,
absolutely. So, you know, you've been on that side too. So you've been surrounded and you've used, you know, your knowledge and your talent to really spread the word about this music. When they came to you about doing this kids jazz series, what went through your mind? It's like, yeah, I'm in.
I mean, that's a no-brainer. Once again, coming up in New Orleans and having such great mentors, and also just being able to be a student in such great programs as set up by the Louis Armstrong Educational Foundation or New Orleans Center for Creative Arts, I have firsthand experience of what it is like to come through these programs and to receive this information and to be exposed to all this and to take it and keep running. And like I said earlier, I think it is my duty, it is my obligation to give back to the next generation. So once again, when I was approached with this, it was a no-brainer. It's like, well, yeah, thank you for allowing me to do what I'm put here to do.
Tell us about some of the projects you're working on right now.
Currently, right now, I am working on a new album. This will be my fifth studio album. Still, name is undetermined, but this would be my first full complete album as a New Yorker. My last album, Notes of a Native Son, which Downbeat Magazine ranked one of the top 10 releases of the year, might I add. That CD, I still had one foot in New Orleans and one foot in New York. So I recorded it with a New Orleans band and a New York band. But musically, I was also still heavily influenced by both sides of the pendulum, if you'd say. But this new album, you know, once again, now being a full-time New Yorker, I feel like my sound has evolved. And, you know, the best way to describe it is almost like when I first moved to New York and I would talk, and New Yorkers would, they would kind of give me this perplexed face and be like, man, I don't really understand what you're saying, dude. Your accent is just so thick. So musically, you know, I had a very deep New Orleans accent, just harmonically and melodically and the way I would hear things and put things together. But now I feel like my accent has somewhat assimilated and I've absorbed a lot of these New York influences. And so I can just tell you, like, compositionally, I'm hearing things so differently now. And also the cats that I'm playing with full time are just all New York musicians. So that this new album, which once again is untitled, is gonna definitely show a different side and be a evolution, if you would say.
So it's changed your music. How has New York City changed you as a person?
Oh, wow. I mean, how much time do we have? You know, New Orleans is, you know, we like to say in New Orleans, we like to call ourselves, first off, the northern tip of the Caribbean. And we're also a little big city. You know, New York is the Big Apple. It's over 8 million people. It is, you might have the people from the Caribbean, but you don't necessarily have the humidity. You don't have the weather. You don't have hurricanes. So New York has certainly changed me to where, you know, when I first moved up here, I used to walk with the New Orleans slow bop, so to speak, down the street. And you know, my wife, who's from the region, you know, she would just always give me like that little nudge, like, you got to pick this up. We have somewhere to go. Like, you're going to get run over by the lady with the walker, like, what are you doing? You know, and really what I've taken to is, you know, the New York life. Like, you know, up here y'all don't say corner stores, y'all say bodegas. You know, so like I really take into the bodega life, you know, just go and get a sandwich at the bodega. Or, oh my gosh, man, I mean, like I discovered Jackson Heights and Woodside, Queens, where just on one block you can have like an Egyptian, Ethiopian, Ecuadorian, you know, I mean, the list goes on of cuisine just on one block. So New York has really expanded my palate, as well as my exposure. You know, sometimes I walk down the street and I don't even hear English. You know, that is certainly not New Orleans at all. You know?
So magically, Louis Armstrong appears at the Newark Museum of Art for the Kids Jazz concert, and he comes backstage and says, "Calvin, you were wonderful with the kids. You know, kids were very important to me too. What would you want to ask Pops?"
Wow, you kind of put me on the spot. You put me on the spot, Doug. I don't know. There's so many questions I want to ask. I would probably be selfish and ask for a lesson, just being frank. Or I would ask him if I could just hang and maybe just spend a day with them, you know, and hope that that could evolve into a mentor-mentee relationship. Because a lot of times you learn more hanging with musicians, and because the music is an expression of life, you know. So honestly, if I could ask Pops anything, I would just say, "Pops, can I just hang with you? Can I just come over for a bowl of red beans and rice and just, you know, sit in your at your kitchen table, not catching you dressed in a, you know, in a suit with the cufflinks, but like, you know, just with your house shoes on and your t-shirt, you know, like that would, yeah, I would probably start off there."
Once again, the WBGO Kids Jazz Concert Series picks up on Saturday, November 22nd at the Newark Museum of Art from 1 to 2 p.m. featuring Calvin Johnson. You can see my entire conversation with Calvin Johnson on the WBGO YouTube channel. Jazz pianist, composer, band leader, and educator Aaron Parks has just released his new acoustic quartet album, By All Means, via Blue Note Records. Aaron Parks joins me now on the WBGO Journal. Great to see you, Aaron.
Hey, great to see you too, Doug. Thanks for taking some time to talk.
Absolutely. You've expanded your acclaimed trio with bassist Ben Street and drummer Billy Hart into a quartet with the addition of tenor saxophonist Ben Solomon, to really explore kind of a new sound. A wonderful set of your original compositions includes poignant dedications to your wife and your son. The gorgeous ballad for Maria Jose is a dedication to your wife. And I know you've said it's an attempt to write something worthy of her. Talk a little bit more about this really beautiful composition.
Oh, well, thanks a lot, man. Yeah, I don't know. I that was a little bit of a song where I get lucky, and there are some songs that really feel like you work hard and you chisel and you sculpt and you move things around. And this one, I mean, there was definitely work, which is fair enough because relationships also take work, you know, but I got lucky with certain elements of how this thing was put together, and it came together during the sort of early days of COVID, during the lockdown, this song started to take shape. And it has there's a melancholy that's in the heart of the song itself, but this and that then at the very end of the song, after moving through a lot of different moods, some that have uplift and these twists and turns harmonically through the song, there's this sort of expansive singing lullaby joyous thing that you emerge at the very, very end of the song, which captures some of the just a spark of joy and childhood that's at the core that I love about her.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about your relationship. Describe how it started.
Oh, sure. Well, it started a long time ago in at the Bologna airport in Italy. She was working in production at a festival there, and I was on tour with Kurt Rosenwinkel's band at the time, and there were two drivers who came to pick up the band in two small cars, and there was some dude, and I realized that the people who were walking sort of on the faster side were going to end up riding in the car with him, and then there was Maria, and so I slowed my gait down just to, you know, to make sure that I would ride in the car with her. And we just got to talking over that night and became friends first. And we lived in different cities. Eventually it had a long distance relationship for a little while. And it was a twisty, turny start to the beginning. You know, it wasn't like a straight line. It was an on again, off again kind of tumultuous thing at the beginning, which then has solidified over time into just one of the sturdiest, and the relationship with her has given me grounding within myself in a way which has made possible for me to just actually grow up a little bit more, you know, and has also made it just, being grounded with myself and then being able to turn my attention to music with a different level of devotion and dedication, I think.
One of the beautiful things about this album is indeed the personal touch that you've given it. You've written another tune, Little River, about which was written for your son Lucas and appears on By All Means. And you've described it as a joyous yet restless lullaby. Talk a little bit about this, because it does have different moments in it, and what you were thinking about in Little River.
Well, yeah, I mean, the song itself at its heart is like it feels like the kind of lullaby, a thing that you would just start humming to yourself, and it's deceptively simple, I think, with some twists and turns along the way to that one as well. But overall, yeah, it's a melodically, it's just this thing that you might find yourself humming along, which is kind of what it started as, you know. I think he was maybe 6 months old, and I'm looking over the way that my house at the time was set up. I had the piano, and I could look over from the piano bench and see into the bathtub where my wife was giving him a bath. And I was just sitting over there and like, wow, look at this. Holy moly, this is a human being. Like this pretty crazy. This song started to emerge and started as this delicate thing that then gradually, then playing it with other folks, it did start to find a rhythmic feel, which harkens back to the Coltrane Quartet, to be sure, a type of circular momentum, and a type of gravity, and a swirl to it, I suppose. The beat on the record that Billy Hart plays on this tune is just so buoyant, and really makes the whole thing just, it feels amazing to me. And so, but that swirl feels more and more appropriate as he grows into the threes, the fours, and the fives. So I'm like, guess I didn't know how appropriate this would be.
and Ben Solomon's sax, it really makes it such a beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I keep using that word beautiful, but that's what it is. I mean, it's a lovely sound. And I've seen some of your Instagram posts, and for Lucas, he's behind the drum set. Now, I know you play all kinds of instruments. Will he be a drummer?
Well, we'll see. I mean, we got it, that remains to be seen. We got him a drum set because he says that he's the most interested in the drums. He also says he wants to play electric guitar. I don't know if, yeah, we'll do that maybe eventually. He seems more interested in singing than anything right now. And right now he's mostly singing K-pop Demon Hunters songs at the top of his lungs, at odd hours. The drums, we're going to get a teacher for him. He's interested in them, but like, it's funny. We have the drum set, and the baby, Nico, who is like a year and change now, he's the one who actually just can't stop going over to the drums. So who knows? We'll see.
That's beautiful, and such a great time to be a dad at those ages. So
Yeah.
wishing you all the best with that.
Thanks. Yeah, it's beautiful and a lot.
Absolutely. By all means, not only has those tunes that we talked about, but really the lead single that you released was Park Slope. And it certainly has a New York City vibe, doesn't it?
Oh, I guess so. I think, I mean, I went through a bunch of different that I went through a bunch of different titles for that song before I settled on that one, which is my, I felt like, I was 40 years old. I've earned the right to make a good dad joke and to put my own name in a title. But even before that, it always had a lope. That song just has a certain lope to it. It used to be called Lope de Dope, or then I called it The Lope of a Dope. And then it was just Park Slope, so which is kind of the same thing. So yeah, that song for me, a lot of this record, it's very much in clear conversation with a lineage of this music, of the Black American music known as jazz, right? For me, this song is deeply in conversation with, I think of Les McCann and Eddie Harris. Herbie Nichols wrote a song that feels like it's part of the DNA. Kurt Rosenwinkel himself wrote a song called Homage à Mitch, which, in a certain way, there's elements of this song that feel like an homage to Homage à Mitch. So there are all of these elements that feel like they come together to inform and influence these things. It's not, and not necessarily that it's all the time only looking backwards towards them, or like trying to pay tribute, but much more about just like jumping into that stream with the music that's come before and being like, you know what? Like, you don't doesn't need to reinvent the wheel to feel alive, and vital in its own way.
In your Blue Note Return in 2024, Little Big Three, you're all about defining, and defying, I should say, genre lines and applying your jazz training to the music. You like to just be on the cutting edge, don't you?
I don't know that I care about that, honestly. I think that I like the music. I like what I like. I don't particularly care about newness for newness's sake. I want to do things that feel close to something that I might want to listen to, rather than something that necessarily would be you could point to and be like, ah, that's really the vanguard of what is. For me, I think at a certain point, yeah, I just want to try to make music that I want to listen to, that I would want to listen to myself, and being honest about what that is. And that can mean a whole lot of different things. But not trying to make music that's self-consciously trying to be original or self-consciously trying to be traditional.
By All Means on Blue Note Records is the latest album out from pianist, composer, and band leader, educator. He does it all, Aaron Parks, and he's been our guest. Aaron, congratulations on this new album. We wish you the best of luck with your career and your family. You got a great family there. Enjoy it.
Thanks a lot, Doug. Really appreciate you, man. And yeah, see you around.
You can see the rest of my conversation with Aaron Parks on the WBGO YouTube channel. Thanks for listening to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Join us next Saturday morning at 5:30 for another edition of the award-winning WBGO Journal. In the meantime, stay tuned to the world's greatest jazz and blues station, WBGO and WBGO.org.